This is Jen.
This is Kelsey.
And you're listening to the first 50 pages.
So for this episode, Jen and I kind of wanted to be a teeny bit selfish and do an episode on one of our favorite book formats.
Audiobooks. We love audiobooks. We really do. And why is having someone read a story to you such a pleasurable experience?
I don't know. It's something about like the different voices and how kind of like a movie or a TV show, like you're really able to, by the narrator's voice, kind of like pick like what these characters look like or kind of really get a feel for them, you know, differently than if you're just reading it off the page.
And we are not the only ones who love audiobooks. They are very popular right now. And we kind of wanted to dig into why that could be. A survey by the Pew Research Center revealed that print books are still the most popular format for reading. But according to the Association of American Publishers, audiobooks are growing faster than any other format, including print and ebooks.
And even audiobook sales increased by 20% in 2017 and then jumped another 43% in 2018. But print books declined by 5% for the first time in 5 years.
A recent article in The Guardian states that the mood in the publishing world is not that they are destroying print sales. It seems more that they are competing with podcasts, music, and TV as a more passive but still semi-highbrow entertainment experience.
A consumer survey done by Edison Research and Triton Digital reported that half of Americans over the age of 12 have listened to an audiobook in the last year. A 44% increase from the previous year's findings. Audiobooks have become increasingly popular with 25 to 34-year-olds. As somebody in this age bracket, I can attest to that.
I'm out of that demographic. But I can still love audiobooks, right? Research also indicates that the number of audiobooks each individual listens to is increasing, and this is likely the result of advancements to technology. Smart speakers like the Echo and Google Home, the wearable tech and smartphones that we all have, making audiobooks extremely convenient for consumers.
Definitely, and audiobook production is constantly improving. You know, although it's a time-consuming and expensive process, according to Forbes magazine, the industry standard payout percentages for audiobooks are significantly less than ebooks. Authors and publishers are having to invest more, but they're earning less because of these compensation structures. And audio rights are seen as increasingly valuable, to the point that Audible is bidding against traditional publishers to acquire the exclusive audio rights to promising projects. Audible is also developing quote-unquote original audiobooks, which are exclusive direct-to-audiobook stories. But can we really call these books if they were never books to begin with?
That's a crazy question. Like, to think about that, they're just creating content for audiobooks. It'll be interesting to kind of see where this market goes in the next few years. But one thing is certain, audiobooks are super popular, and it seems that they are just going to continue to grow because it's a convenient way for us to access books.
Oh, for sure.
So Kelsey and I wanted to bring in an audiobook listener that could maybe shed some light on his experience with audiobooks and why he thinks they're so popular and why he is an audiobook listener. So we have invited Alex Waters to join us today. Alex is the career development specialist at Morningside College. So he's working in career services, and he has also been a city council member for the city of Sioux City since 2017. Welcome, Alex.
Welcome, Alex.
Hey, thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
So, Alex, we have heard that you are a fan of audiobooks.
I am.
So you are in good company here. When did you discover audiobooks?
That's a good question. It's probably been a couple of years now, right? But I started really thinking about what I wanted to do and the time I had and the ability for me to read a paper book versus an audiobook and when I would be able to do that. And I think it really started a couple of years back where I was kind of looking at different platforms and the availability of them and what I could do. And then I just got hooked.
What was that like specific audiobook that like got you hooked, that you're like, oh my God, I need to read all of these, or I need to like listen to all of these now?
I don't know if it was one specific one, but it was just the ease of doing it. Like, I guess that's what it more so was. It wasn't, I was listening to some podcasts and some things like that. Like, gosh, this is much easier than I thought it would be. And I was thinking, I really want to get into some books. I really want to be well read. And so I was thinking, gosh, that's a perfect transition, right? From a podcast, something a little shorter, to really getting into a good book and being a part of the conversation. You know, then people are talking about books. I want to really have that, add to that dialogue and be able to talk about those too.
You kind of answered my next question, you know, why audiobooks appeal to you. So what is your listening style? When do you find yourself, you know, listening, or, you know, what kind of things are you drawn to?
Yeah, so I would say for sure the easiest thing, and when I find myself doing it the most, is actually on road trips. So I travel quite a bit, whether it's just within the state or elsewhere. And I find, like, I really like those longer drives to really get into something, you know, and really put some time into it and get into a few chapters. I don't want to break it up. You know, I'm not that listener that's like, well, if I could just get 15 minutes here, if I just get 15 minutes there. I really, really want to actually try to dive into that book. And so it's usually like the more than an hour road trip, I'm like, I definitely want to connect and really get into a book, so that just within a few drives, it's like, boom, we're done with one book and on to the next one, and really trying to learn and apply what I've learned.
So are you like us, where you take that long way home so you
can finish a chapter? Or you sit in the driveway and you're just like, well, I think there's just one chapter left.
And everybody's like looking outside the window at you, like, are you coming in?
Yeah,
no?
Exactly.
Staying outside?
I'm fine right here. Yeah.
I think they've even coined the term driveway moment for those kind of things.
Oh,
where
really?
You're still listening to a story. And it might be a news story too. You might be listening to NPR, you might be listening to an audiobook.
Exactly.
So, like, well, I mean,
exactly, your favorite song is on or something like that. Just got to jam out in the driveway for a little longer. It's like, if you're in the middle of a good book or listening to a great radio station or program, it's like, just got to give it a few more minutes.
Yeah. At this point, if I'm sitting in the driveway in my car, my husband knows I'm listening and finishing a chapter. I'm listening to
the end. She'll be in eventually.
Yeah. Well, and for me too, like, getting back to that, answering a little more directly your other question of what appeals to me. I mean, you think about really being a quadriplegic, and sometimes those paper books are so challenging for me. And so it's even the accessibility of them that really appealed to me, because I tell you what, it's a struggle flipping pages of a book, let me tell you. And so it's one of those things where I'm able to just connect into it and really just really get into it without struggling with those pages, and having it so accessible is right there on my phone. It was just so nice for me to be able to have, and really, again, like I said, feel connected. So it just brought a full circle that it's like, well, now I don't have to worry about fumbling with pages or where the bookmark is, or if I drop my book on the ground. It's like, let's just get into it. And so I was so excited to learn about Libby and what was available to me.
We love book recommendations, and we love sharing those with people. So do you have a favorite book or narrator that you've listened to?
So I will admit, I don't get to listen to a ton of books. Like, I'm still a novice, like, fairly new to this. But I will tell you that some of my favorites, the one I just finished was The Hate U Give.
Okay.
And I really liked that. I'm probably a little late to the game, right? Like, people were there a little while back. But
people are still checking it out at the library. You're okay. You're still on trend.
Good, good. Yeah. I want to be relevant, right? Part of that conversation.
Exactly.
And so I really liked The Hate U Give. I'm looking at some of the other ones that I had downloaded. So some different, like, motivational style books, like the Find Your Why. I really like Simon Sinek, and his Start With Why was really impactful for me. And so looking at some of his other books, I did read Becoming by Michelle Obama. Okay. I thought that was really powerful. That was one where I definitely was on a road trip actually to Houston for that one. And so I was like so happy to really get into it.
Does she narrate her own book?
Yes.
Does she? Yeah, that would be cool to listen to.
Oh my gosh. And it's everything from, like, romance, you know, just talking about the story of how she met Barack and going through that. It's like, you don't have to be a political junkie or guru really to get into it. It's just a story of her life and really where she has been and where she's going. And I thought that was really, really powerful. But yeah, other ones, I mean, The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss, you know, things like that. The Unblank Yourself by Gary Bishop, if you will. Like, I think some of those things that are just trying to give you tidbits to really implement into your life. Like, for me, that's what I want. I want to be able to read something that's making me think about the way I'm living my life, about how I can improve and what I can do going forward. And I found like so many awesome opportunities or possibilities using this app and using audiobooks.
Hashtag reading goals.
Really. And I definitely think like listening to kind of, you know, whether it's the self-help ones or like business ones or, you know, different things like that, I feel like it's almost more easily digestible when you're listening to it. Cause I don't know, for me, I'm able to take it in more rather than if I'm like, oh, this is like 25 chapters, like in an actual like print book, somehow listening to it makes it easier to kind of like compartmentalize the different things about it.
I agree. I agree very much. No, and what's cool too is, or at least for me, sometimes I take notes, you know what I mean? And I'm able to do that. Like, and I don't want to mark up a book or something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's challenging. So at least then if I'm at least home listening or, you know, having that driveway moment, I can catch up and really write some notes down about what I was listening to and try to apply it.
So do you use Libby then as your format?
Totally. I was using other platforms and then I found out about Libby and I was so psyched about that. I was like, oh my gosh, through our own public library, I'm able to go and do this. And so I went down to the downtown location. I went through the whole process, got all of my questions answered and was able to set it up. And I've been using it ever since. I mean, it's such a great free service that we offer that it's like, how in the world was I not taking advantage of this before?
I know. And it surprises me still. We've had downloadable ebooks and audiobooks through libraries for years. And it surprises me still that people are still finding out about it. But I hear over and over that when people start using the Libby app, they really love it because it is very easy. It's intuitive. It's easy to get started. When the original audiobooks, when we first had access to those, it was a little clunky, but as technology has improved. And so if you were using Overdrive before, Libby is the, you know, updated version of the app that you have access to. Most public libraries across the country have access to Libby or subscribing to an audiobook format in some way. So
it's nice being at Sioux City that we're part of the larger Bridges Consortium with the state library that, you know, we have access to all these different materials as well as, you know, what other libraries across the state of Iowa have. So really it's kind of goes back to that whole basic idea of libraries share books that, you know, we're still able to share these downloadable materials too.
So Alex, I'm hearing that one of your tips for someone who wants to listen to audiobooks but maybe isn't sure how to get started is to visit their public library.
I think that's it. That's it right there. And at least talk about the process, like educate yourself and learn about what's available. Because I will tell you, like I've said on here, is that I didn't get into it and have all the time in the world. And so I was using other platforms where I'm paying for these books or I'm paying a monthly subscription or something like that. And then at the end of the month, I was like, wow, I really let myself down and I did not listen to enough books. And so all of this money is going out of my account and I'm feeling guilty. And I'm like, I need to push myself to read this. And so that's when I started looking at cost saving measures, like how can I take this off my bank account? And it did. It started by just going to the library and saying, look, this is what I'm up against. I really want to find this way to do it. It was easy. They walk you through it. They show you what you need to download, how you get the library card, how you sync it, like all of those things. It was so simple. And now I don't have to have that guilt, right? Like I don't have to worry about, oh my gosh, I didn't get to this book in time and now I'm charged for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we always talk about this, the beauty of the library is you get to try things and you're not fully committed. So if after you've listened, you know, we always say like the first 50 pages,
yes,
but if you've got through, you know, the first 30 minutes or an hour of the book and you're like, no, this is not for me, then you just return it and find something new. You know,
yeah, it's
you
like don't, this is not intriguing, next.
Yeah, you find the next story that's really going to appeal to you and satisfy what you're looking for, whether it's enrichment or, you know, pleasure reading or making your life better in whatever way you want.
The road trip ones don't hurt either.
Yeah, no doubt. That are just entertaining and they get you hooked. And then you're just like, oh my gosh.
They're like, oh, drove 600 miles. All right.
Exactly.
So Alex, Kelsey is going to share some Libby hacks with us today. So for those of you who are using Libby and you're like, yes, we love Libby, you might not know some of these hacks. So we're going to share some.
And I am anxious to hear some of these. Let me tell you.
And I will admit, I am a little embarrassed to admit that some of these were a little new to me too. So I feel the shame. But...
So we're all learning, right?
Yeah, we're all learning.
Exactly.
So BookWrite put this really cool article together where they just titled it Excellent, you know, Libby Hack. So I was like, all right, we're in. We're going to talk about it on the podcast. So one of the first ones is that you can set a timer. So like if you want to listen to an audiobook before you go to sleep, you can... in Libby, set a timer so that, you know, it's like 30 minutes so that you don't necessarily like lose your spot, or it kind of keeps track of where you've stopped so that you can listen and fall asleep the next night with the timer.
Right.
So I was like, oh, that could be very dangerous.
Yeah.
So if you find that narrator's voice, that will like lull you to sleep. Not, who doesn't want to fall? Like,
not that we want to, you know, plug boring narrators, but.
No, not even boring, just soothing where it's just like, okay,
there,
now I'm in a trance.
Soothing's probably a better term than boring.
No doubt.
Put you right to sleep.
And I didn't really know this, and probably until a couple weeks ago, that you can speed up the narrator.
Yes.
So like a lot of times, like it starts out, you know, kind of slower, or, you know, like at a pace that they kind of assume everybody wants to listen at, but you can go a lot faster. So I tried it with Harry Potter and Jim Dale, and he's like talking really fast in a British accent. It was kind of great, but
That
so you can
kind
of change that, slow it up or down if you want.
So that there is kind of a boring section of the book, you can just play it in fast mode to get through it.
Yeah.
And actually, I do utilize that. I found myself when it's more like, when it was like The Hate U Give, I really wanted to get into it so it wasn't as fast or things like that. I really wanted to pay attention to the dialogue. But then when it was more the self-help or motivational style books, it's like I could speed that up a little bit because it's like, look, I'm just following your train of thought.
Yeah.
Like I'm just following what you're putting out there. But I've really found that helpful because then, too, it's not as much time. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You're cutting that length down.
You're like, oh, let me shorten this book up
by a couple hours. Exactly.
Time is precious in our world, isn't it?
It's for sure.
Another great hack that I did know about and utilize quite frequently is that you can skip forward or backwards up to 30 seconds at any point in the book. So definitely I use that a lot. Like if I get stuck at a light or like I start turning or, you know, like then I get a phone call and I'm like, what were they talking about before?
Or if you're like me and you zone out, like what? I missed the last minute of that. Let's go back.
Yeah. Get in your head.
Yeah.
And probably one of the newest ones is that Libby in their like latest update has launched dark mode. So it kind of helps your eyes with the screen that now the screen can be like a really like dark gray or black so that you don't have all the blue light from your screen and it's a little softer on your eyes.
Very nice.
I like
I'm hearing that people are really digging dark mode.
I know. I use it all the time.
I have to try it.
I'm a fan.
And you can also, I don't use this a lot myself, but you can tag your books in Libby. So if you have to return one that maybe you don't get finished listening to, or there's one that you want to read, but you're at your checkout limit of three, you can tag different books and put them in different lists so that you can go back to them or put them on a list to check out later and different things like that.
That's for the organized people.
Yeah.
See, but I might need that because I didn't know that either. Because sometimes I've run up against that deadline, right, where it gets returned, check it back out, that type of thing.
Yeah, and the last one that I have to offer is that when you finish your book, you can actually, like, there's a gif or, like, an emoji that you can throw a bouquet of flowers at the end.
Like a celebration.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Like, we're celebrating your accomplishment. Yeah, you finished a book.
I have not quite managed this one yet.
Okay.
I'm a little excited to
try it. That digital celebration.
Yeah.
There you go.
And I, yes, celebrate finishing a book. I find myself always kind of mellow and almost sad when I finish a book, especially if it was really good, because I don't want it to be over.
Yeah, I'm like, can we just have like tears?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that I want a bouquet.
Don't be sad it's over.
But
yeah, well, those are cool. I'm definitely going to have to try some of those, Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like those hacks.
So our advice is tell your friends about Libby, because they should be used if they listen to audiobooks or they want to try audiobooks. It's a permanent free trial, not just like a 1 month, 30-day subscription free trial. It's a permanent free trial if you have a library card. There's no overdue fees. You don't have to worry about returning them.
Exactly. I think it's the most painless option. And that's what I was really talking to you about when we first spoke about this, was I was talking to a friend that really wanted to get into audiobooks, and he's a resident of Sioux City. And I was like, well, have you ever heard of Libby? Like, why are you paying for this subscription and not getting through everything? And even if you are, even if you're an avid reader and you really, really want to get through these books, why not use what's available to us? Why not utilize our great services that the library has to offer? Go down, see these lovely people that are working there. Let them walk you through this process and let them help you start saving money. It's easy and it's actually a lot of fun.
Libby While we love it for audiobooks, it's also ebooks, but also there are some other formats that they are starting to carry. And Alex, you were saying that...
Yeah. One of the new things that I just came across was actually magazines. And so it's like, gosh, I don't want to have all of these subscriptions, but I really want to read an article in this one that just came out, right? And so being able to flip through all of these different magazines and be able to weed out or find those different articles that I really, really am interested in, it was like mind-blowing.
I think they're even doing some video platforms, and it's still a growing platform, so they're continuing to try and add different things based on what, you know, the public's interest is, what they're going to use. So yeah, they continue to update and change, and so it's cool to see that they've started adding the magazines into that.
Yeah, because it's like, well, maybe you're on your lunch break and you don't want to get into a book because you're like me and you want to make sure that you have hours on end to get into that book, right? Like if I'm just on my lunch break and I don't have magazines in my office or I don't want to deal with the subscriptions, like I just pull that up on my phone and I'm able to go through it. And I think it's just, it's so accessible and it's so nice and carefree. I really, really appreciate it. And it was something that I didn't know. Again, being a novice, I'm like 1 year in and now I'm still finding those different things like the hacks, you know what I mean? I think that you learn as you go. And if you are nervous about technology or utilizing this, like I think it's so easy to go down and work with our library staff and just have them walk through and show you all of the great functions and all the great ways that you can utilize that powerful, powerful device, your phone, and how easy it is to navigate and really be able to be connected that way.
And you really can just walk in the door and ask for help.
Yeah.
We'll do it.
They are
and
right
even if,
there.
Like, we walk you through everything and you're like, okay, I think I got it. And you get home and you're like, I forgot everything they just told me. You can call us. Like,
exactly.
We will help you over the phone as much as we can, or you can always stop back in. It's not just a one and done type thing. Like, oh, we helped you. We can't help you again.
But Libby is so intuitive and user friendly. I don't have a lot of people who will come back and say, I didn't get it. It's like once we kind of go through it with them, they're off and running and they love it.
Yeah. And give it a test drive, like you're saying, you know what I mean? Like download it, work it. And then maybe you want to go in the Skywalks and just go for a walk. You want to go to the mall where you really love doing walking or shopping or anything. Put in some headphones and just really give it a try.
I love listening to audiobooks when I'm wrapping Christmas presents.
Oh,
just a suggestion.
Or cooking supper or something like that, if it's a meal that you're all used to. Because I don't know, there's one thing we were talking about multitasking, and it's like, I don't know, driving, at least I can focus and concentrate on the road and what I'm doing and still let things come in. But I don't know about a million other things, but I really, really like it for being able, while you're doing some of those different tasks that you're used to, cleaning the house.
For me, it's probably
maybe
cleaning or like doing
gardening.
Laundry. It makes it a little bit more bearable.
Yeah.
I'm
it's like,
listening.
Wow, this is enjoyable.
Yeah.
Yeah,
better.
Maybe not. Yeah, exactly. Better.
Enjoyable
that's,
might
that's
be strong.
Really, yeah, no doubt.
Thank you so much for joining us today, Alex. It's been great chatting with you. And it's always great to talk with other people who love reading, you know, and love the experience of audiobooks because, you know, if it's not evident already, Kelsey and I are big fans.
So no doubt.
We like to, you know, talk to other fellow reading geeks and kind of, you know, get
I'm
their
getting
take.
There, okay? I'm trying.
We'll initiate you.
Yes,
fine.
Exactly.
You
there'll
are
be
on
a process.
The right path,
there'll be a process.
Alex. You're on the right path to being well-read, absolutely.
No doubt.
So really, this kind of leads us into this question. Is listening to a book the same as reading a book? And is listening to an audiobook somehow cheating? Kelsey has this really cool poster in her office. I love it. And it says, written on a chalkboard, audiobooks are not cheating, over and over and over again. And I think that's the stance that you and I would both take, that audiobooks are not cheating. But there are a lot of articles out there talking about, you know, this kind of subject.
Mm-hmm.
And more science is kind of going into it.
So Time Magazine has a really interesting article about this. They interviewed Daniel Willingham, a professor of psychology at the University of Virginia and author of Raising Kids Who Read. He says that he's been asked this question a lot and he hates it. If, he argues, you take the question from the perspective of cognitive psychology, so the mental processes involved, there's no real difference between listening to a book and reading it. So according to that understanding of the question, audiobooks truly aren't cheating.
Should we say it again? Audiobooks are not cheating. They're not cheating. But if you're listening for leisure, the differences between audiobooks and print books are pretty small. So it's not cheating to listen to your book club's pick this month.
And sometimes that's an easier format to get a hold of rather than the print or even the ebook version.
And since the 1980s, cognitive psychology has consistently established that recall is indeed better after reading printed text instead of listening to it. So there is an argument for recall just for print. The article in Time goes on to cite some research that found evidence that you are less likely to retain information if you're listening or using an e-reader as opposed to reading a print book. They say that has to do with your brain knowing where you are in the arc of the narrative as you're reading. So being able to gauge your progress as you move through a book has a lot to do with retention of information.
I guess I could see that because you're not actually like putting like a physical bookmark in the book, or you're not seeing, or, you know,
yeah.
God forbid you like dog ear a page.
Yeah.
Like where
you
you're
would never.
We don't advocate for that. Do not do
you
that.
You would never do that.
But, you know, I can see it.
And the fact that printed text is anchored to a specific location on a page, science says, also seems to help people remember information better.
And then there's also regressive eye movements. About 10 to 15% of eye movements during reading are actually regressive, meaning kind of the eyes are going back and rechecking. Willingham says this reading quirk almost certainly bolsters comprehension.
And if you're like me, our minds occasionally wander when we're reading. It's pretty easy to go back and find the point at which you zoned out if you're reading a print book. You can rescan a sentence or a paragraph if you didn't process it the first time. It's not as easy if you're listening to a recording.
But we did know in our Libby hacks that you can rewind it 15 seconds at a time. So if you truly didn't catch something, you can kind of
I do still find
back.
That a bit frustrating, though, because I'm like, how far back is 15 seconds? I found some challenges
with
that.
It's not a perfect science.
Turning the page of a book also gives your brain a slight break that can create space for your brain to store or savor the information you're absorbing. Basically, I think what science is saying, if you're looking to retain information, the print book might be better. Maybe in that sense, comprehension goes mostly to print.
Yeah. But, you know, sometimes audiobooks do have their advantages over reading a print book. You know, we figure out a lot of information from a speaker's intonations and inflections. Audiobooks provide unique context clues that can help readers better understand the meaning and application of specific words.
Sarcasm, for example.
And people who hear Shakespeare spoken out loud can figure out more of the meaning from the narration.
Hearing new words, independent of or in combination with reading them, can significantly help with comprehension and vocabulary, especially for young readers and second language learners. I thought that was an interesting fact, that if, you know, English is not your first language or you're a reluctant or struggling reader, the audiobooks can actually help you with comprehension and vocabulary.
Yeah, I could see that. So 30% of the population is auditory learners, meaning that they learn best through listening. There's, you know, 65% are visual learners, 5% kinesthetic, which they learn by doing. And with practice, we can train ourselves to listen more critically so we can get better at comprehension through listening.
And research actually shows that our brains may better be able to imagine a story through listening to audiobooks. A study conducted by the Journal of Verbal Learning and Verbal Behavior found that our brains are actually more likely to create meaningful imagery when we listen to a story, as opposed to when it's read in a traditional format, because it allows more room for our brain's visual processes to kick into gear. And I think that's kind of why is it so pleasurable? You know, maybe that's part of it. You know, our brains create more meaningful imagery when we hear a story.
And I feel like sometimes you're able to tap into the emotion of the story more, because usually, you know, there'll be not only the narrator's voice, but different sound effects, you know, that kind of evoke the mood, whether it's creepy or, you know, any sort of sound. You can kind of take that in more than if it's just a print book.
I think also for kids, they're often able to read above their grade level if they're listening to an audiobook. I know specifically my son listened to Harry Potter. and followed along with the print book, probably before he could really read it on his own. And he enjoyed the story so much more. He really struggled trying to read the print book because of the made-up names and the fantasy elements of it. But in listening to the story, he really did enjoy that.
Hit after my own heart, like in Harry Potter.
Yeah, and I'm sure the narrator helped too, right, Kelsey?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of boys are reluctant readers. I have parents tell me all the time that their sons just aren't into reading. They don't like to read. Author John Cheska founded a website, guysread.com, to help expose boys to great stories. And he says that audiobooks are a great way to reach boy readers, connecting boys with a whole range of great writing in a way that is accessible, fun, and exciting. And there's an offshoot of Guys Read called Guys Listen, a website that promotes literacy by focusing on the art of listening. The website says that allowing guys to plug in to experience great stories will motivate them to enjoy novels and literature they may have been unwilling to try out before. And they share an article by Dr. Rose Brock on their site titled, Why Listen? Using Audiobooks to Support Literacy. So if Kelsey and I haven't convinced you yet that listening to audiobooks is not cheating, that article by Dr. Brock will. So there's another way to look at reading, though, and that's through your emotional response to the story. The University College London did a study in 2018 that was funded by Audible that found that audiobooks can make listeners more emotional than movies and television during key narrative moments. They hooked them up to the wires and the sensors, and they measured their heart rate and body temperature. And it showed that the measures increased more when listening to audiobooks than while watching the on-screen versions of things. So there is, you know, evidence that listening to audiobooks creates more of an emotional response.
And I think it's also interesting to note that it's more of a social experience to hear a story through another person speaking. But on the other hand, some readers find, you know, that physically reading a book is a more personal experience because as a reader, you know, you're responsible for creating everything, including the inner voice of the narration. So it kind of goes back to that push and pull versus audiobook and print.
And I think I've experienced it both ways.
Yeah.
You know, I can't say that I necessarily favor one or the other. It depends on the narrative. You know, it depends on so many factors, but I can see that argument there.
So if you've always thought about trying ebooks, because we're talking about how, you know, like you can kind of be on the fence sometimes about whether you want to read or listen to it. But even if you haven't fully committed yet to audiobooks, you could definitely try finding a memoir by a favorite celebrity, actor, musician. It seems that they often narrate their own stories, so it's kind of like a good bridging, you know, way to try out audiobooks.
I am a big fan of SNL. Through the years. And I loved Bossy Pants by Tina Fey and Yes Please by Amy Poehler as audiobooks. They were the narrators, and it really added to the experience to have their voices in the story.
And I also really enjoyed Born to Run by Bruce Springsteen. I'm a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. And I even did a check it out on it if you've heard it.
So do you think the audiobook was like the next best thing to being at a concert?
Probably. He just has one of those voices that's just so recognizable and just, it's just great. I can't even fathom words as to why it's so great. I would say also that with audiobooks, you can kind of be a multitasker. I mean, I can't say that it's easy for me to vacuum while also holding a print book, but I can do that while I'm listening to an audiobook. I can just, you know, have my phone in my pocket, but I can also be vacuuming. So it can definitely make household chores a little bit more bearable.
And I think, you know, research kind of shows too that audiobook listeners credit the listening for helping them get through more books in a shorter period of time. And it's also a preferred format when they need to get through a book faster. The most popular place to listen to audiobooks is in the car. About 3/4 of people who were surveyed said they listen to audiobooks while on the road. For sure.
I would probably fall into that percentage that listens primarily in the car.
Unfortunately, some research also shows that the majority of people simply can't multitask. We think we are, but we're really just switching attention from one thing to another in short bursts. So if we're trying to learn while multitasking, we aren't going to do it as well. It's science.
All right. I suppose you probably can't do a nonfiction book and really think you're going to learn something while you're cleaning.
But for the argument of multitasking, audiobooks do make it possible for book lovers like you and I, Kelsey, to cross titles off our to-be-read list. I definitely get through more books because I listen in addition to read print.
Oh, definitely. So another, you know, I guess, check mark, if you will, for audiobooks is that they allow you to be anonymous. You know, you can be listening to anything and no one will know. So if you know you're tackling 50 Shades of Grey or you're tackling a book that you're like, I don't really want people to see me, you know,
it's reading none of their
this
business.
Book. Yeah, it's none of their business and you can just listen to it and they won't know.
Because reading a physical book in public means that the world can look in and know what you're reading. Maybe you'll find a friend, but sometimes we just don't feel like inviting others into our personal lives.
Yeah.
One thing that I love about audiobooks is pronunciation. I have learned names, foreign languages, not like learned foreign languages, but I've learned how to pronounce things in a foreign language.
Just picked up a little bit of language.
Yeah. And I actually had a patron share with me a couple of years ago when a man called Ove was actually pronounced Uve because she listened to the audiobook. But everyone calls it A Man Called Ove.
That was a book with one of those titles that everybody pronounced
differently.
The name differently. Yeah. Like I probably heard it 50 different ways.
Yeah, but she said she listened to the audiobook and it was Uve.
Hmm.
And I was like, okay.
Would never have guessed.
Yeah. So another advantage that audiobooks, I think, have is when we think about diverse reading and own voices. Diverse reading is a goal for a lot of readers, and it's a way to explore the world and build understanding and empathy for others. And the hashtag own voices was defined by author Corinne Duvet to mean diverse characters written by authors from that same diverse group. The experience of listening to a book written and narrated by people who are not part of your personal demographic can be a powerful experience. I personally loved Another Brooklyn, written by Jacqueline Woodson and narrated by Robin Miles. I did a check it out on this book a couple years ago. Robin Miles is a very accomplished narrator. She has over 250 books to her name. She's won multiple awards, but it really was that experience of listening to that book in that kind of own voices perspective that really made it powerful.
Yeah, it can kind of provoke that super emotional response that you're able to really like get into the story and really like understand. But speaking of awards, each year the Audio Publishers Association honors the best titles in audio publishing at a gala award ceremony.
And it is a gala. Like, yeah. If you look at the pictures, it's like the Oscars of the audio awards.
You wouldn't expect it, but full-on gala black tie affair. 2019 was the 24th annual Audio Awards. 24 categories received awards, including Audiobook of the Year, which was Children of Blood and Bone by Tomi Adeyemi, narrated by Bonnie Turpin, and published by Macmillan Audio. The winner of the Young Adult category is one that I think Jen has on her to-be-read list.
I do. I'm so excited to start this book. Sadie by Courtney Summers is narrated by a group of people, Dan Bittner, Rebecca Solar, Gabriel Zachman, and Fred Berman, also published by Macmillan Audio. It's told from the alternating perspectives of 19-year-old Sadie, who runs away from her isolated small Colorado town to find her younger sister's killer, and a true crime podcast exploring Sadie's disappearance. It's a compelling, gritty, and emotionally intense book. And School Library Journal says that it's impossible not to be drawn into this haunting thriller of a book. And Audiophile magazine said that Sadie is a production that will not be forgotten. I seriously can't wait to read this one.
I think now it's probably on my to be listened to.
The second it comes out, it's going to jump to the top of my list. Like, I cannot wait to have it. I'm just waiting for my library copy.
And I also have a couple on my list that were Audi Award finalists that I plan on reading. or listening to, I should say. So I'm kind of still into some of the spooky books, you know, kind of I'm in a Halloween hangover mood. So I really want to listen to Pet Sematary by Stephen King. I've never read it, never listened to it. But in the newest edition, Michael C. Hall narrates it. So I know Jen is a huge Dexter fan. Gosh. So she might have to listen to it too.
Putting it on my list. Putting it on my list.
So I'm kind of excited to tackle that one, you know, on these like fall nights. But then I'm also really interested to listen to The Tattooist of Auschwitz by Heather Morris. It's also narrated by Richard Armitage, who's another actor, and he's actually considered one of Britain's most respected audio narrators, which I did not know. And The Tattooist of Auschwitz is a tale of hope and courage based on interviews that Morris conducted with Holocaust survivor and Auschwitz tattooist Lael Sokolov. It's, you know, kind of another one of those World War II historical fiction books, but it's one that I think we've had a hard time keeping on the shelf this year, so I'm excited to listen to that one. This is Kelsey.
And this is Jen.
And thank you for listening to the first 50 pages.